Today's guest is Morgan McCarver. Hello, Morgan. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, of course. I'd like to start with, a short introduction. Can you tell us who you are, and where you came from?
Yeah, my name is Morgan. I am originally from South Carolina, and I moved to Asheville, North Carolina about 2 years ago. I'm a potter, so I love to work with my hands making art, and I love it here in North Carolina.
That's funny. This is the second person I'm interviewing from North Carolina. How was it like growing up there?
Growing up in upstate South Carolina, it was very hot. We were about 4 hours away from the beach and about 4 hours away from the mountains. So it was just kind of flat and very sticky during the summers. And so my thoughts were, moving to the mountains of North Carolina, it would be a lot cooler. And the winters are very cold, but the summers are still kind of warm. So, maybe I'll move even more north one day. Who knows?
That's awesome. And you say potter, when you mean potter, you're talking about ceramics and pottery. Can you tell us how you got into that and what does it mean to you?
Yeah, so I do mean ceramics, pottery, throwing on the pottery wheel like you see on like social media and things like that. But basically, I have always wanted a creative outlet. And for a while, it was dance. I really enjoyed dancing competitively. And that's kind of where my friend group was. And then I was in eighth grade at the time. I was 14 years old. I had to have scoliosis spinal fusion surgery. And basically, my spine wasn't growing straight. It was growing from side to side. And there were three different curves that were progressing as I was growing. So the doctors waited until I had finished kind of that growth spurt. And then they decided the best option would be to fuse my spine. And that is really what stopped me dancing, but it allowed me to find my love of pottery during that year-long recovery process. And then the rest is history, as they say. I ended up going to school for it, and that's what brought me to Asheville in the first place. And it's just such a passion. It's become my side business and everything, so I really enjoy it.
Wow. Wow, there's a lot right there. I kind of want to touch on the scoliosis part. So what is the scoliosis, and how did it impact your mental and mindset around that time?
Basically, it is it's a genetic disorder in that way, disability, where instead of my spine growing straight like it's supposed to, it was growing from side to side, and it was also twisting. So they were kind of monitoring the curves of my spine. And just like you would do in geometry where you're measuring the angles of a triangle, they were seeing what degrees my spine was curved, and they were tracking that over a period of about 3 years. I was diagnosed 3 years before I had to have surgery. And so they were able to see as I was growing, even though I was wearing back bracing and I was going to the doctor for checkups and everything to make sure I was doing what I was supposed to, my spine still wasn't really being held by the brace. It just kept getting worse and worse, and it started to affect my organs. I wasn't able to get 100% lung capacity, so I couldn't take a full breath, and other organs were kind of being pushed around because my body was being contorted in that way. So my shoulders were uneven and my hips were uneven, which made one leg a little bit longer than the other. So there were all of these things that were only getting worse the longer this was left untreated. And most scoliosis, you don't have to have surgery for, but mine was just a severe enough case that I needed to have that fixed before I just progressed to a point where my quality of life would have not been ideal.
Mm. And you said it was around the time you were having your growth spurt. How old were you when that was happening?
They first caught it when I was in fifth grade, and then 3 years later I had to have surgery. So I was 14.
For others listening that may have gone or may be going through some type of surgery or some type of mental, capacity where it's kind of hindering them, what would you say or advice you could share that someone going through something, similar or just, trying to get through something tough?
Yeah, I think I've been there for sure, and I think it's a really hard place to kind of speak into when you're on the outside of it. But for me, having gone through something like that, I know for me, I really needed to have an outlet. And for me, that was creativity. And finding pottery is what really kind of kept me inspired and it kept me moving. Because clay dries out at a certain time. And if the studio isn't humid enough, your pieces will dry quicker than others. So kind of the draw of the clay constantly was bringing me back and giving me purpose. And I was able to kind of hone my technique during that time. But I say it took me over a decade for me to really see my purpose and to see why all of that had happened to me. And so I just encourage you, like, if you're not understanding why you're going through what you're going through, it might take a couple of years. And I know that's hard to hear because we live in an instant gratification world. But for me, it took me over a decade for me to really see God's purpose in my life and why he brought me through all of those things. And now that I'm able to see that, and that is what brought me into pottery and allowed me to write this book and all of these amazing things, I'm able to be so thankful for my circumstances that gave me those experiences. But during those 10 years, I was not thankful and I didn't want to talk about it and I wanted to hide it. And looking back, that's so much time wasted that I could have been sharing my story. But I needed that time to really process what was happening to me. So if you're going through something like that, I think it's okay to take the time to process. I think it's a great idea to talk to somebody about that, whether that's a friend or a mentor or a counselor, to really just express yourself and be vulnerable and understand that you might feel broken at the time, because I definitely did. And it does take a process of healing to kind of come out of that and come on the other side of that and see that redemption.
And it's a process of healing, sounds like, not just, you know, mentally or physically, but definitely on that spiritual and mental level as well. Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, of course, especially going through something so physically altering as a teenage girl. You know, body image is real anyway for everybody, especially teenage girls. And then having this kind of surgery kind of thrown on top of it, my back will always just be very stiffly straight because that's how it's fused solid. And I have 2 titanium rods and 18 screws holding my back straight. And that will just be how it is for the rest of my life. I'll never be able to bend my back or anything like that. But for the time when I first was kind of coming out of surgery and realizing all of this, it was hard to handle mentally because I didn't look like everybody else. I was kind of mourning everything I lost. I wasn't flexible anymore, yeah. And I wasn't able to do all these things. So mentally, it was a big challenge that I really had to kind of work through over the years and overcome. And I'm still not on the complete other side of that. You know, there's good days and bad days. And I think that's important to remember, too. It's something you'll always continue to work through.
That was going to bring me to my next question is, when you do find yourself, in those situations where it's like, maybe it's like, why, or maybe you're praying to God and it's like thinking, you know, what's going on? Like, what is the purpose? Like, what, we have a lot of listeners that are age range about 17 to 34 year olds. And a lot of them don't know what's going on. You know, a lot of them don't know their purpose or their passions or what the next step is and their situation. So, what was the mindset like for you, and, you know, what keeps you going?
Well, originally my mindset again was just mourning everything I lost. And that's really what I was focusing on. And you can only focus on that negative aspect for so long. I was starting to realize that it was affecting me in my everyday life. And there were so many things I still was able to do. And like my love of pottery, there were so many things that I had discovered a passion for that I might not have ever known if it wasn't for my circumstance and having the surgery. So I would just encourage everyone in that situation to try to focus on the highlights, the good things that you still have, or the things that you've discovered recently. Maybe you have just started cooking and you never knew you even liked to cook or that you could cook, or there's so many things. Even just taking a walk and looking at all of the beauty around you can really be encouraging as well. But I've been there. I know that it's hard when you're kind of in that pit, so to speak, and you're just thinking of all of these things that you've lost. It's a really hard place, but it's also exhausting to kind of be in that place and, just feel that pity for yourself. And I think there's a time and place for that, but then at some point we've got to come out and we've got to live our lives and, enjoy everything that we still have.
Yeah, that's very important. And that's funny. I actually interviewed one of my friends earlier while doing this podcast, and they were going through a time of depression and during COVID, and they actually turned to baking and some sort of like creative process in that, or just doing something, you know, that made them happy or whole, like even doing something that they never even thought they would be doing. Like what, like baking is just so simple, but it takes you out of that mindset of not, like you said, mourning what you don't have, but looking forward to what you do have and what you still can do. So that's, I think that's amazing. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I want to talk about, you know, you starting your own business, and you know, what was that like being a small business owner, and for someone looking to take the first step, you know, starting their own business, what does that look like?
There's a lot of things I didn't know until I kind of had to figure them out. But in the pottery world, there's always festivals going on, and Christmas, of course, is our busiest season. So, making sure I was being at those Saturday festivals, applying to different shows and things, for the fall and winter seasons, that was really big for me. And just starting to kind of get my foot in the door, do small festivals, and then those lead to other things. And I always say just research something well enough that you know that you could fulfill it if you get accepted. But don't look too far into it because you'll get your hopes up or you'll get scared. So there's several things that I've applied for. For instance, I had an opportunity to compete for a residency in the capital of South Carolina in Columbia. And I didn't really know fully what that was going to be about. But I knew that I had enough pieces to apply, and I felt like I could submit and see what happened. And I didn't win, but I was in the top three, and I was the youngest artist to ever make it that far. And so just that type of experience that, you know, just go for it, see what happens, get your work out there, and you never know what might lead to something else. So I always encourage you to just go for it and say yes and see what happens. But from a business standpoint, I also say it's good to kind of have an egg in every basket, so to speak. Don't all, put all your eggs in one basket. So I do the festivals. I also have work for sale in shops and galleries around the Carolinas and Tennessee. So my work is constantly available. I can always send people to those shops that are open 24 hours. Well, not 24 hours, but you know what I mean. Like 24/7, so to speak. They're open year round. I also do like online sales. So I have an Etsy account and a wholesale account through Faire, where people can shop online. But pottery sells so much better in person, and hearing the story from the artist just comes so much more personally as well. So I always encourage everyone to really put yourself out there and get yourself in front of your work and be able to talk to your customers and explain your story, explain how you made your pieces, what your inspiration was. And that really just encourages everyone listening that they know about you, they know about the artist, and now they have a story that they take home with them when they buy your pottery, and they think about that every time they use that mug. So those are some kind of little tips for running your own business.
Yeah, I think that's a very important, what you said was a story or background, right? They get to know you and meet you in person, and then they want to, you know, be a champion for you because, like, oh, Morgan's such a good person, and her art seems to be really amazing as well. So I think that's really important. Where do you find the inspiration or creativity for your pieces?
Mainly from wildflowers in the Carolinas that I've grown up with. I really enjoy the white pottery with blue flowers or black flower motifs. And so I have four different wildflower designs that are different wildflowers from the Carolinas that I've hand drawn, and then I copyrighted them and I screen print them onto my pieces. And I use dogwoods, thistles, violets, and wisteria in my drawings. And basically, these flowers to me just symbolize kind of that inner strength and that feminine beauty of something that looks so delicate, but wildflowers aren't cultivated. They aren't watered. They don't have the weeds pulled out from under them. They're really just growing for no one. They're just growing there because God put them there. And so I think that's just so beautiful that they can be so resilient and look so delicate. And similar with porcelain, it looks very fragile, but if you think about it, like our sinks are made of porcelain, our toilets are made of porcelain. It's a very strong material, but it does look very delicate as well when it's in the shape of a teacup or a teapot. So I kind of play with those ideas because that's what I experienced in my own life with my back surgery. There was a time that I felt very weak and I look very delicate, but I have that inner strength in other areas like ceramics that allows me to express myself fully.
Yeah, that's so good. I was going to, I totally was blanking on, I was just so interested in the wildfire that I forgot my next question. But God, the artist, that's what brings me to my next question. What is God, the artist? How did you come up with that idea and how is it involved in your art that you do today?
Great questions. So basically, when I was graduating with my degree in ceramics in 2019, I knew I was losing that friend group and I didn't really know what to do because we've been in this pottery setting for 4 years and now I was about to go out into the world. So I was looking for a devotion book about pottery because I am a Christian and I went to a Christian school and that's just something that I always want to keep God in my artwork and in my life. And so I was looking for something that really explained all of the pottery Bible verses that I had read over the years. And I couldn't find what I was looking for, honestly. And so I started taking notes. I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that this could be something I could do. And at the time, I tried to get something published in 2019, and I was rejected. And now looking back at that manuscript, I'm so glad I was rejected because it was such a rough manuscript. But at the time, I was really heartbroken because I thought this was my purpose. God had showed me what I was supposed to do. And then I was so confused because I was rejected. And so I was asking God, was that your voice? Did I really hear what you were talking about? Like, is this even what I'm supposed to be doing? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I thought this was it. And you took that away from me. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, it's going to take a little bit of experience for you to be able to write this book. And so I put it to the side. And then a couple of years later, in January of 2023, I just felt a calling to kind of revisit that book. And so I pretty much rewrote the manuscript then. But essentially, God the Artist is an inspirational account of Bible verses that talk about pottery and kind of how they relate and how they relate to my life as a Christian and as a ceramic artist and how they can relate to the reader's lives as well. So I say you don't have to be a Christian and you don't have to be a potter to read this book. I kind of go through both as we go along. But essentially, each chapter dives deeper and deeper into the techniques of pottery. And I'm constantly comparing those pottery Bible verses and kind of explaining them from my background in ceramics. And at the end of each chapter, there's a creativity challenge that's open-ended. So any art form, if you want to participate and kind of interact with this book as you're reading along, you can participate in those creativity challenges.
That's awesome. Do you have, not to put you on the spot, but do you have any tidbits or something to like a trailer that that can maybe intrigue someone looking to get this book?
Yeah, I would say probably the most common pottery reference in the Bible that people think of is Jeremiah 18, where the prophet Jeremiah goes to the potter's house and the Lord tells him to go to the potter's house and he sees the potter throwing a vessel on the wheel and he's making this amazing vessel and then something happens and the pot crumbles back down to the wheel. And so the potter pulls the clay off and he reworks it and then he puts it back on the wheel and throws a better vessel. And I think that's just so impactful. I relate to that verse so much because I thought dance was the best thing ever. I was dancing competitively. That was my passion. So in that way, my life was like that first pot. And then when I had the surgery, it was like my whole life crumpled back to the wheel head, like that clay. And the Lord really had to rework my heart, rework my mindset physically as well. I had to regain the muscle that I had lost and all of these things. And I say that was that 10-year period where I didn't want to talk about my circumstances. During that 10 years, God was reworking me and redeeming my life. And then through that, through learning about ceramics and kind of honing my craft, now coming out on the other side of that, I'm like that vessel that has been reworked. I'm still the same Morgan, but my life is completely changed and it's been redeemed in a way that I found so much more beauty in this version of my life than I did through dance at the beginning. So I say that that's just one example that God is always guaranteeing us redemption and we can always be reworked by him and find a new life and redemption through that.
Yeah. Yeah. you know, as a Christian, I'm a Christian as well. So I can relate to, you know, what you're saying, but, my question is, you know, how is your faith, incorporated into, you know, what you're doing in your daily life, and what does that mean to you?
I try to incorporate it as much as possible, and that honestly was not always the case. I just recently, through getting the book published and marketing the book, I've really recognized that, you know, this is a war. Spiritual warfare is real, and it's time for me to become active and take part in this. And for a while, like, my Instagram, everything was very passive. I was just there to sell pots, so to speak, and I would just post pretty pictures of pottery and not really pick a side socially in that way. I, of course, was still going to church and everything. I have been a Christian since I was 7 years old, but just recently recognizing that the Lord has given me this story to share, and it's to share because it shows His glory and how He has redeemed my life and His story through me, giving me that very specific testimony, because most people don't go from a major back surgery to pottery. That's not a normal jump. And pottery is very physical too. So just recognizing that the story is from the Lord, it allows me to see it so much more clearly. And He, every time I'm in the studio, I feel like there's some kind of little like nugget of wisdom that the Lord's constantly showing me the symbolism between me being the potter working with my clay, and recognizing that in my spiritual walk, I'm the clay and God is the potter. So constantly, recognizing that. And, when I go into the studio, I know I have the training, I have the experience, and I have the confidence to go in and make what I want out of clay, and recognizing that in my spiritual journey, my walk of life, God is the potter, so He has the experience, He has the confidence, He's all-knowing, He knows what my life is going to be, and I'm just the clay. Who am I to have an opinion, much less have any thoughts on how my life should be run compared to what He has planned? So just constantly reminding myself of that, and constantly seeking His will and what He is wanting me to do with my life that He's given me.
Yeah. And you know, when you're in those times of, you know, there's like little to no creativity or inspiration, like, how do you stay motivated, and how do you stay creative in those times?
I was actually talking to a friend about this recently. I think it's, for me, it is, it's as simple as having multiple different art forms to kind of switch back and forth between. So I always got something going on in the studio. I'm always constantly throwing pots or firing a kiln or whatever that might be. But when it is a slow season or I am feeling burnt out, I have other different creative outlets that I don't sell my work. Like, I love to paint and I love to sew and do all of these other fabric type things, needlework. And those are things that are just for me. So I'm able to kind of get inspiration through other art forms and keep those just for me, so it doesn't feel like I'm constantly selling myself. And I think that is just so important, and it's advice I wish I had had when I went to school, honestly, because my teachers were telling me, don't go to school for pottery, don't turn something that you love into a job that you'll hate. And I think that's terrible advice, because you should love what you do, of course. And I wish someone had told me, go for what you love, do what you love, try it and see what happens, but be well-rounded enough that you have something to fall back on, or always keep something just for yourself. Don't feel like you have to sell everything you do. And I think that's important to remember, to kind of keep a part of you just for you. So I think that's really important in the art world, especially.
And do you keep your favorite pieces that you make to yourself, or do you?
That's a hard one. That's a good question. Usually I will, if there's a piece that I especially really love, I will keep it and look at it. I'll take it back to my home and display it for a couple of months. And then by that time, I have gotten tired of it and I'll sell it or give it as a gift or something, and then make something else that will take its place. So it's constantly a cycle.
Yeah. And I think that's so important when you talk about having multiple creative outlets. Like, you can't just, and then I think you also said before, just don't put all your eggs in one basket, like, because then the river may run out sometimes. So it's always good to, like, either go on a walk or, like you said, paint or do something else, something that will end up sparking something back. And when you go back into it, you come up with something that you didn't even know you had. So I think that's really important.
Exactly. Exactly. There's been so many cases where, because I've been painting, I now have that dexterity and muscle memory that I can translate into pottery without having to sell my paintings or whatever that might be. So there's a lot of crossover in my work as well. I have some images and motifs that are like reminiscent of sewing techniques and different things that I incorporate into my pottery, but I'm not selling the things I sew. So there's all those elements too that kind of tie into each other.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's so interesting. What would you say is something that you learned, like that made you, I guess, think to yourself, like just something out of the ordinary that you didn't think you would learn about when doing ceramics?
Oh, that's a good question. It would probably be, when I was first starting out, I didn't really realize how hot kilns got. And so when I'm firing my clay, it takes two different firings. The first is like a bisque firing, and then I glaze it or paint it, and then I fire it again. And so right now my kiln is firing to cone 7, which means it's firing to 2,262 degrees. So that's something that I didn't really realize, that it actually does get quite hot when you're firing pieces.
That's cool. And then I also wanted to touch on some things you said earlier when writing your book. And it sounds like when you're doing something that you think you're ready for, but, you know, God says, you know, you're not ready for it. It seems like it sounds like you were patient with yourself. And then at that time when you thought time goes by, built more experience to go back to it. And I think that's such an important thing for people to take away and learn, is that, yeah, it doesn't have to be right now. If you're young, you still have time, earn the experience, and then maybe come back to it, revisit it at a later time. Morgan, where can people find you, and where can people follow you, and where can people grab your book?
I'll probably just send you, for all of that, just straight to my website. And that is just my name, www.morganmccarver.com. And that's probably the easiest kind of place to start, the headquarters, so to speak. From there, you can shop my Etsy. You can buy my book. You can sign up for my newsletter or connect with me on social media, or just send me a message straight through the website. And I'd love to get in contact with y'all. So
nice. And my last question here as you wrap up, what is something you'd want someone to take away from today's conversation?
Probably the most important thing to me is that to recognize we're all creative, and God has given us all the ability to be creative because we're made in His image and He is a creator God. We learn about Him by hearing and reading in Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then He tells us that we're made in His image. So to me, that's the most important thing to remember, is when you're feeling down, when you're feeling stuck, when you don't know what you're supposed to do next, just to remember that God has made you so specially, and He has given you very specific talents and strengths and passions that only you have. And by pursuing those and finding joy in the talents that God has given you, you're connecting with Him in that way, and He can really communicate with you in your own language, so to speak. So like I talked about, when I'm in the studio and God's giving me these nuggets of wisdom, that's not just for ceramics. That can happen in every area of your life. And just if you're seeking after Him, He will honor that, and He will connect with you as well.
That's so good. Thank you so much, Morgan, for your time. Thank you for your wisdom you shared.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. This has been awesome.